Good morning. It's a joy to be with you for worship. I hope you have a great rest of the day, but right now our focus is upon worship, and I hope you'll be back at 5 tonight for this very special service that has been planned for all of us to focus upon certain passages and books of the Bible, the reading of the Word of God, one of the most important things that we do. Our emphasis today is on the subject of prayer, and rather than repeat some of the things that we have done before, like talk about principles of prayer, how to have a more effective prayer life, and things like that. I've chosen to do something a little different. I want to talk about a prayer list for our children. And it doesn't really matter if you have children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren or not. We have occasions to pray for each other and to pray for the children of others a lot, all the time. I'm grateful for all of you who from time to time will remind us of how you pray for us. And our response is always, please keep doing that. We need it desperately, those of us who stand in places like this. It's hard to believe that it's been 7 weeks. And what I would want to say about Tim and Hannah, so excited, you know that, about your becoming a part of our family, like others that have been mentioned recently. That prayer that Brother Mike led is a good example of what we're talking about today, of having a prayer list of people for whom to pray, but also in particular, today we're focusing upon children. Now, 7 weeks, and obviously I took this from where Joan and I were sitting at the time, so it's not the most centered photo. It is always so overwhelming when at the beginning of a school year, we call all of our children and our youth group down to the front. Our university students are not here yet. School here starts the 1st of August. Seems to be unlawful to me, but it still starts about the 1st of August. And so we have about 3 weeks or so in school before our college students start. And what a wonderful thing it is when one of our elders, in this case Sean Bolton, is leading a special prayer for them. There's something about the prayer, but the seeing of y'all come down to the front and those scattered throughout the audience is moving to those of us who are older, and we love that. We love you. And so when we talk about making a prayer list, you know, prayer is more effective when it is more specific, rather than simply praying for the sick, which is a very good thing to do because there's so many that we don't know that are sick. But if we can be specific in mentioning names, and when it comes to causes for which to pray, prayer's more effective the more specific that it is. And we're grateful for you. Our youth group that is here today is not a part of the youth group that I need for you to be praying for, even as we close our worship today, that are returning this afternoon from their retreat up at West Kentucky Christian Camp. That's been a good group, and we have a great group here, and so our focus is upon them today, and we want you to know we love every one of you, we're proud of every one of you, and we try to show that from time to time. Prayer list for our children. When the Lord said, ask, seek, and knock, he's not specifically saying, you know, pray for your children, but he does give an example of a father that is a good father is not going to do things that hurt the child, but rather that benefit the child. And you know, I cannot think of anything that is more beneficial, I mean, other than providing needs, the necessities of life. What could be better to know that somewhere, wherever your mom is or wherever your dad is, that before that day is over, they are going to be going to the Father in your behalf. In fact, some of you are in anticipation of marriage. Wonderful. I am for it, especially FHU marriages. You know, it happens every now and then. Okay, now, for those of you who are anticipating children, we are praying for you. And for those who are blessed with children, are now having grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, what a wonderful thing that you can do for them is to remember them daily and sometimes many times daily. Now, here is a list that we're going to have to go through very quickly. So buckle your seatbelts, listen fast, because number one, let's pray that our children and our grandchildren will love the scriptures early in life and continue in those sacred writings all the days of their life. 2 Timothy 3, we're given the example of Timothy, who was taught at the knee of his grandmother Lois. There's three generations here. Grandmother Lois, mother Eunice, son Timothy. And think about how Timothy turned out. And I know that our prayers for all of our children may not always turn out at the time that we want them to, but you know what? I have learned, and I learned this really before becoming a parent, I learned it very early in ministry with working with people, that when you are a parent, you are a parent all of your life. Your children may be completely grown, and they may have children of their own, but do you think that problems do not invade the lives of your children that are adults? Do you think that there's no need to pray for your well, they've got their parents to do that. No, you love those grandchildren. In fact, sometimes you wish the grandchildren could have come before the children. You love them, and so you want to do what is best and right for them, and you're praying for them to, you know, pat the Bible, 1, 2, 3. You remember that? Teaching little ones to love the Bible stories. Putting your children to bed at night. You may be dead tired, but what is more important than sharing with them a Bible story that they will remember? And especially as you do that on a regular basis. And then that they will believe the gospel message, repent of their sins when they become of age, confess their faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and then be buried with him in the waters of baptism to wash away all of their sins. You know, the reason that most people that become members of the Lord's church do so at a young age, although that can happen at any age after youth, you know that. There are many people come to the kingdom later in life. But they are sensitive, having been taught that they have a conscience, and that that conscience is being trained by Scripture. They are sensitive to the things that are right, the things that are wrong, and they're aware of their sinfulness. They're aware of the need to have their sins washed away, even though they may be, in our estimation, really young. And we're not talking about, you know, before what we call the age of accountability, whatever that is. We're certainly not talking about infant baptism. That's not biblical or anything like that. But when they become of age and have conscience about what is right and wrong, they are eager and sensitive to have their sins washed away and to enter the Lord's church. So we pray that that day will come. I have four grandchildren that we are praying for that every day, that that day will come. That they will love the church as the bride of Christ. So many people love Jesus but don't care for the church. Breaks your heart. If they knew how much Jesus loved the church and that he came into the world to establish the church, that through the church, being baptized into him and added to the church, they will be saved according to their faithfulness following that. And so we want to pray not only that our children obey the gospel, but we want to pray that they continue to obey the gospel, that they continue to live lives of belief when everybody else doesn't believe, of acknowledging the mistakes that they make when others think they never make a mistake. That is, we continue to be penitent of our sins. And whether it's with our lips or by the way that we live in our behavior, we're still making the good confession through life that we believe in Jesus. We believe in His church, and we want to be faithful to her all of their lives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Beautiful passage in Ephesians 5. That the Lord will protect them from the evil one. Everyone is going to be tempted. And everyone is going to have failures of giving in to temptation. That's why we have a song that says, yield not to temptation. Every victory gives you some other to win. Every time you're victorious, you're stronger the next time. That the Lord will protect us from the evil one spiritually, as well as protect us physically. Do we pray for the safety of our young people coming back from this camp? Absolutely. Do we pray for the safety of our groups that are going out for whatever and coming back? Yes. Do we pray for their health? Yes. You know of St. Jude, don't you? Doesn't it crush your soul? I wanted to go to St. Jude to see the facility, but I absolutely could not take what I would see in the children there. I wouldn't be able to take it. Whether we go or not, are we praying, you know, for things like that? And we're praying for them emotionally. It's not easy being a kid. It's not easy being a teen these days. Not easy being a university student. So many pressures around us. But you know what? It's not easy being a young adult either. It's not easy being in middle age. It's not easy being older. If you have struggles with the evil one, if you not, by the power of the Lord, have the ability to overcome, we have a great example here. In the upper room discourse from John 13 to 16, you have the Lord teaching the 11 remaining apostles about His soon-to-be departure. And you know, He prays this beautiful prayer that we call the prayer for unity in John 17. And we often emphasize there that He prays about the unity of all believers everywhere, that everyone will believe the same thing and practice the same thing. That is a prayer that needs to be repeated over and over again. But in verse 15, He prays for His disciples, the apostles. And He says, Father, please keep them from the evil one. I mean, they're going to turn the world upside down with the gospel message. And so He prays for the 12, soon to be 12 again. Are they going to have problems themselves? Oh. Every one of them is going to become a martyr, with the exception of John, who dies in old age in exile. I mean, yeah, they're going to have problems. And so He prays in advance. And we need to pray that prayer as well. That they will love what is right in the eyes of God and hate what is wrong. We had an elder back home who was an elder for decades that always included the expression that I appreciated, especially as a kid and as a teen, and I still do. He would always include in his prayers, Father, help us in the things that are right, and defeat us in the things that are wrong. You cannot pray that prayer, guys, if you're looking forward to doing wrong. But if you want to have a pure mind and a pure heart and a pure life, then you must pray that I will abhor. That's what Romans 12, 9 says, abhor. What in the world is abhor? It means hate. Hate that which is evil and do what is good. Romans 12, 9. That they will respect those who have authority over them. You know, authority comes as we enter the world, we have a mom and dad. We need to pay them all the respect in the world, not only while we're under their roof, but when we leave their roof, and as we take our place in the world, we're going to need them as long as they live. But guess what? They're going to grow so old that they're going to need you with what you can do for them. And so we need to respect them. We need to respect teachers. Those of you, especially in the elementary grades, like Joan's experience of 32 years, found that the number one problem with kids of our age, the lack of respect for authority on any level. If you're going to play ball, you're going to have to respect authority of your coach. If you're going to be in a classroom, respect your teacher. If you're going to be in the church, you respect your elders, not just the group of men serving as elders, although we begin there, but those who are older, those who have lived, those who are worthy of your respect and of your encouragement, because they love you, they care for you, they're praying for you, whether you realize it or not. You know, this matter of authority can be demonstrated in a number of ways. Romans 13, 1 to 7 is the most extended passage in the New Testament about respecting government, for instance. All authority is with God, Paul says, and the authority that governing agencies have comes from God. So we pay our taxes, we go by the speed limit, at least we try, and we do all of these things because we're subject to our governing powers, right? In an advising situation some years ago, academic advising for Bible majors, which I loved, every one of them, had a young man who obviously came from a rather rough background and had not been taught certain things that we hold dear. Every question that I asked the young man, he responded with, "Yeah." And when I'd had enough of that, I stopped and I said, called him by name. I said, "Look, you know I love you, but don't you intend to say, 'Yes, sir'?" And Kenneth, I'm so glad this wasn't you. You always say, "Yes, sir," and "No, sir." You know what he said? He looked at me, nodding his head like this, says, "Yeah." And so I had to start over again. I said, "Look, if you're going to work with a church, if you're going to work with older people, you're going to have to show a measure of respect for where they are in life. And yeah and no is not going to do it." And so even in little things like that, we show our respect for those older. That they will choose the right kind of friends and not be influenced by the wrong ones. Read Proverbs 1. Really, don't stop at verse 11. Go on down to verse 15 when it says, "Don't let those who are evil direct your paths, but walk in the paths of righteousness." I've heard many parents excuse what happened to their children by saying they fell into the wrong crowd. And you know what? That's their right. That's their choice. And that's true. But they made the decision to do that. We have the right to choose. We need to choose friends who are going to help us do the right thing, who believe the right thing, who are going to do the right thing. And, you know, the same works for us with them. And so choosing those with whom we'll be influenced by makes all the difference. That we'll pray. We're praying now as moms and dads, grandparents, that they and those they marry will keep themselves pure before marriage as well as during marriage. This is something really important to the Lord. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 that every other sin is something outside the body. But fornication affects the internal part of the body. And if not repented of will affect the eternity of the soul. And so we pray. And when there is failure along this line, there is repentance and there is restoration. But we need not lead a lifestyle of moral impurity. That they will find a godly Christian mate who will help them go to heaven. Do you realize that one of the four main reasons that Freed and Hardeman restored Christian education to Henderson after other schools had been predecessors, one of the four reasons was that young men and young ladies, Christian young men, Christian young women from across the nation can come to Henderson, Tennessee, and find someone of like precious faith. Now, that doesn't mean that if you didn't find your mate here, or if you don't find your mate here, that life is hopeless. A lot of marriages are made in the church. And while we're here, along with the influence, I mean, you've noticed marriages, FHU marriages, happen occasionally. A lot of us are here as FHU married people, and we're very happy about that, proud about that. But the point is, wherever we are, wherever we go, we want to find a godly mate who will help us go to heaven, and we can help them go to heaven. That they will spend an eternity in heaven is our final. I don't know of anything that is more important. You don't either. There's nothing more important than going to heaven. I've told you before, but one of my dear friends, Chuck Morris, Stephen's brother, was president of Evangelism Forum his senior year as a Bible major and also biology major at the time, now preaching at West Dyersburg. And in the very first meeting of Evangelism Forum that year, when the room was filled, quite frankly, because Chuck was the president, and he had such massive influence, Mr. FHU and all of that. He made a lot of remarks that night, but the one that I remember is he concluded by saying, "Listen, there is nothing in this world that is worth missing heaven for." Do you know what? That hit me right there, just like I'm sure that it hit his peers. Because listen, temptation does not necessarily get easier as you get older. Hopefully your faith grows stronger and stronger, and you've had these victories behind you where say no, you know, to Satan, yes to the Lord. But there are times we fail. And we want to block out and remove, even now, anything that is in the way of our going to heaven. That could be a person. That could be a position. That could be a practice. But nothing is more important than our going to heaven. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Now, in closing, let me emphasize, and may I encourage one other reading for you. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. You know, where it says that children are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. May his quiver be filled with them. Oh, what a beautiful passage. Parents, Psalm 127, 3 through 5, okay? Let me close by saying all of this begins right here with each of us. I mean, we were teens once, and we were young adults once, and we were middle aged once, and now we're older adults now. It still belongs and begins here if I plan to pass this on to younger generations. We've got to be sure that we are morally pure as well. We've got to be sure that we pray that the Lord will also keep us away from the evil one spiritually physically, emotionally, and morally. And that's what our children will see. And that's what they will remember. And that will be the most convincing proof of what you teach them, that you believe it to the point that you're going to stand by it no matter what. No matter what. And if we can be faithful to that, then we really will be singing with a grateful heart about a great day coming, a great day coming. We get to see the Lord face to face. A few moments ago, we talked about what it means to become a Christian. May also, in extending the invitation today, remind you there are many needs that people have in coming before their brothers and sisters for prayer. And if that includes you, it is our prayer that you will make whatever necessary change that you need to make. The Lord loves you. The Lord's going to keep loving you, and the church is too. And with that going for you, you cannot lose. Give yourself to Him wholly and completely while we stand.